Jason was just playing this a moment ago. Play the chorus there, Jason. 812 all the way in the back. Very back of the hip hop. Let's stand as we sing this song. To the children of Judah and, to Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So he was a prophet when Israel still was in the land, the 10 northern tribes, and Judah and Benjamin were also still in the land. He spoke of things to come. Even before Jesus came. He lived before Jesus, all right? This is where Amos is in the realm of time. Before the time of Christ, during the Old Testament time under Israel and Judah. And he preached to the people that they needed to repent and get right with God. And he also spoke of a great day coming when Israel would enjoy great blessings from their God. I want you to notice that this chapter kind of splits in half. The first part is all about how God is going to make Israel desolate because of their sin. But then when you get down to verse 8, it takes a different route. And God begins to say, but I am going to regather you together and bless you. That speaks of a day yet coming. I believe it speaks of the millennial kingdom age of Jesus Christ, which will take place after we're raptured out of here, in the 7 years of tribulation. And then Jesus will come back in the battle of Armageddon, destroy the wicked, and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. I believe the last portion of our chapter speaks of that time when he sets up his kingdom. So think of that as we get to those verses. We'll be using these thoughts in our message this morning. All right, let's go back and forth. All right, I'll read the first verse. You together read the second verse. And we'll go back and forth like that until we get to verse 15, which we will all read in unison together. All right, everybody there? Amos chapter 9. I hope I said chapter 9. Did I? I didn't tell you. I'm sorry. I'll wait for you. Amos chapter 9, the last chapter. Okay, when I don't hear any more pages moving, I know we're there. Let's listen to the silence. Who is that? Adam, was that you? That's somebody. All right. You're just having too good of a time here this morning. All right, let's start. I'll do the first verse, you can do the second. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir?
Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the single man, and I will destroy him, among the nations, and will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord.
For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth.
All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, evil shall not overtake.
In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So you can see toward the end, he does good, doesn't he, to them. So there's coming a great day for Israel. And so that's a good thing to read God's word together. It's good to hear you all talking, saying the same things, and to read God's word together. And by the way, it's a good thing we all have King James Bible too, right? Or it'd be quite confusing in here. Hearing all kinds of different interpretations and translations. We've got one Bible, and we'll stick by it till the Lord comes back. All right, well, and so let's sing again. Number 395, still sweeter every day. Hope you know who that's talking about as we sing the song 395, Still Sweeter Every Day. What we call the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also referred to as the millennium. It's also referred to as the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. Do you know that the Bible teaches that Jesus is going to return to earth someday and set up his throne in the city of Jerusalem, the very throne of David, and he's going to sit on that throne and he's going to rule Israel and rule all the nations of the world through Israel. That day's coming. And that's a glorious day. Great expectation for us. Now, we are in what is called the church age. Jesus is not here yet. He's not on the earth. He's not ruling and reigning. And contrary to the amillennialists who believe that there is no kingdom of Christ ever going to take place on this earth, they believe that the church will someday cover the whole earth and bring in a golden age. I'm sorry, that is not going to happen. And it is not happening. The church age, for the most part, has failed in its witness and its job. And someday soon, the remnant church is going to be caught up out of this world in what is called the rapture of the church. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation taking place on this earth, during which Antichrist will arise. And boy, if you don't see some of these things already starting to form and take place, you just don't have your eyes open. Just read your morning's newspaper. Read this morning's newspaper. Or yesterday's. But better yet, read your Bible. And you'll see that these things are coming to pass. And that Antichrist will rise up during that 7-year period of time. And he will amass a great army eventually at the end of the 7 years to fight against Israel and Jerusalem and against their Messiah. Who they will at that time finally have repented of their sins and be calling upon him to come. And he will come and fight for them and destroy the wicked and then take all the saved with him into his kingdom that he's going to rule and reign over. And that's where we're at, and that's what we're talking about. What will that kingdom be like? And the first thing we saw was it would be a complete fulfillment of all the covenants or promises that God made with Israel. We looked at the relation of Satan to this kingdom. And we find out in these verses right here that he will be put away for 1,000 years during the time that Jesus rules and reigns on this earth. So that no one during that time will be able to say, the devil made me do it.
You remember, what was it, Laugh-In or one of those programs? They used to always say, the devil made me do it, right? Here comes the judge and all those kind of blasphemous things that they would say and do. The devil made me do it. Man does not want to take responsibility for his own sin. He's always trying to find something else or someone else to put the blame on. In fact, sometimes they even want to blame God. You know, just have some bad thing happen, some tragedy happen, and you'll have someone get on, you know, they'll be interviewed on CNN or NBC. Well, I don't know if there's a God in heaven. Why, he'd allow it. Wow. There is a God in heaven, but we're the reason why this happens. Why is there death, struggle, problems on this earth? Why are there tragedies even in weather? How about earthquakes and volcanoes and things like that? All because of the sin of man in the Garden of Eden. There would be none of these things if it weren't for us. Man just keeps on trying to blame someone else. Well, during the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, devil, you're not going to be allowed to do your work for 1,000 years. And yet at the end of 1,000 years, you're going to find that the people who enter into the kingdom, they're going to have children, they're going to have children, children's children, and so forth, that many of these are not going to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they won't be able to blame the devil. They won't even be able to blame weather because everything's going to be nice. We're going to look at some of the things. During the kingdom, things are going to be just right. But the heart of man is still sinful. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can understand man's heart? It's that bad. And at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we'll read here that the devil was released to deceive those that are in the millennial kingdom, and he's going to successfully deceive many who will one final time try to revolt against God and against his Christ, only to be destroyed by him with fire and brimstone out of heaven. And then comes the final judgment where all the lost will be brought before the Lord, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Where are you on this matter? Which side are you on? Do you know which side you are on? By the way, you need to know which side you are on. The adult Sunday school class has as their memory verse John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be, what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. A few verses later, he says, cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So I ask you, what side are you on? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you going to be part of this kingdom? I'm going to be part of it. He said, I thought you were in the church going up. Yep, we'll go up. But when he comes back, the Bible says we're coming back with him to help rule and reign while he's king on this earth. Looking forward to this. I'm going into it. Why? Because you're good? No. Oh, because you're pastor of Ray Street Baptist Church? No, that won't do it either. Because I'm saved. There was a time in my life at my bedside, on my knees, acknowledging I was a sinner, going to hell, trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior that night. And I'm his, and he's mine. And I'm going into heaven. I'm going up in the rapture. I'm going to come back with the Lord when he sets up his kingdom. I'm going to see these things that we read in Amos a moment ago. I'm looking forward to it. How about you? What side are you on? You born again or lost? There's only two ways. You're either saved or lost. You're either born again or you're not born again. You're either going into the kingdom or you're not going in. And if you're not going into the kingdom, guess where you are going? The Bible says you're going to hell. Lake of fire. That's the Bible saying that. Oh, you need to get on the right side of these things. Admit you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll be on the right side. Well, what do I have to do? How much does it cost? It doesn't cost anything except what Jesus did for you on the cross, which cost a lot. Can I make a deal with God? No deals. You don't have anything to deal with anyway. You're nothing but a sinner. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short. What do you have to deal with? Well, God, if I promise to be good and go to church, no deals. God, I'm a sinner. That's what you got to say. God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And I know that you provided a way to save me from sin and from hell. I now accept it. Split second, you're saved. Right then and there. That's all it takes. It sounds too easy. But you know what? It's one of the hardest things for a sinner to do. What's so hard about it? To admit you are a sinner and you can't save yourself and nothing you do is of any value to saving yourself. That's the hard thing to do. Especially when you get older. It even gets harder. Because you know what you got to say? Everything I've been trying to do is of no value. That means your old church, your dead works, your church attendance, your charity, all these attempts you did to try to make yourself acceptable to God, no good. And it's hard for people to get to that place and say, oh God, I've been trying to make myself acceptable to you. I now even repent of trying to do that. And accept your Son as the sacrifice for my sins. Save my lost soul. And he'll do it. That's all you got to do. The Philippian jailer came into Paul and Silas that night after the earthquake and everybody was let loose. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what?
Saved.
All right, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him a what?
1,000 years.
You know what? I just believe the Bible. That means 1,000 years. Start the clock ticking. Start tearing the pages off the calendar. 1,000 years. And cast him, verse 3, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years, tear the months off, should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Wow, you know, many people are going to give their lives for the cause of Christ during the tribulation time. Just as they have during the church age time too. During our time. It says, for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. That's that 666 mark. Or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ. How many years?
1,000 years.
Yeah, start tearing the months off of the calendars. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. By the way, what's the second death? Just for sake of seeing it, go over to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So back over to verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him, what?
1,000 years.
And when the, what? 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city, that's not Rome, by the way, Rome's destroyed and gone by this time. This is Jerusalem, the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that's as far as I'll read there, just to establish that Jesus Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years. Today we want to look at and continue to look at the relation of Christ to the millennium. Last week we looked at Jesus will be here on earth bodily. I'm not going to go through that again, but just to say it one more time. He will be here on the earth bodily. He'll not be here represented by the Pope as a vicar of Christ. No, the Pope is he's an imposter. Jesus himself will be here. And the names of Jesus during the millennium, he's called the Branch, the Lord our Righteousness, the Son of Man. He's called the King. He's called our Redeemer. Well, if he's called the Redeemer, it must be none other than Jesus Christ. He's the Redeemer. Yes, he's coming back. Who's coming back?
Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming back to this earth.
During this time, when Christ is ruling, we will have the manifestation or revealing of all Christ is during the millennium. Would you now go with me to Isaiah chapter 2? Now, we're going to go to all kinds of places in the book of Isaiah, especially this morning.
Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. Remember, Isaiah is a prophet of Judah, and he lived long before the time of Jesus Christ. So he's living before the time of Christ, and he's prophesying to the nation of Israel who is sinful. They're not following the Lord. They're not doing the right things that they should be doing. And Isaiah is there to preach to them and tell them to repent of their sins and get right with the God of Israel and look for the Messiah to come. And there's a better day coming. What we're living in now, Isaiah says, is not the best days. The best days are yet to come. In fact, he says there's going to come a time when Israel will no longer be in their land. They're going to be in captivity. And then they're going to be brought back. He preaches all about that in the book of Isaiah. But here in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, he talks about the Lord. And it shall come to pass in the last days. So there he is, last days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yep. The knowledge of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem all over the world. So the manifestation and revealing of all Christ is during the millennium. Jesus will be glorified as God. Look at verse 3 there. It says, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob. Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. Those are titles for God. This Jesus is God, folks. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. They're wrong. Jesus is God. He's equal with the Father and the Holy Ghost. All three of them created everything. They must be one. They're equal. And the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus and the Father are one. I and my Father are one. He said to the people, Jesus said to the people of his day, before Abraham was, I am. He took the title I am, which God gave to Moses to give to Pharaoh to tell him who the God of Israel was. Tell him, I am that I am sent you. And now Jesus comes and he says, I am. He's none other than God, the Lord. And you've got to come to him in order to be saved. Because he's the only one who's holy. He's the only one sinless. And he died on the cross for your sins. It wasn't just some other man who died. It wasn't just another good man that died. Because there are no good men. There's none good, the Bible says. Except one. Jesus. Only one. Jesus. Well, let's look at the spiritual character of the kingdom, of the millennium. First of all, we see that it's going to be filled with righteousness. Secondly, everybody's going to obey. Thirdly, there's going to be holiness during this time. And fourthly, the truth is going to go out from Jerusalem all over the world. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit will be involved during this time as well, working in the hearts, especially of Israel, to be a witness to the rest of the nations of the world. Go with me to Joel chapter 2. You're in Isaiah, go to the right. You go through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. This was quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost. Thought that very well the kingdom age might be coming on fast at the day of Pentecost. But little did he know that Israel would reject their Messiah again after he was crucified on the cross. And after they presented him to them again on the day of Pentecost and days afterward, Israel continued to reject their Messiah.
So God revealed through Paul that during this time of Israel's rejection, he's going to call out a people for his name, which is the church made up of both Jews and Gentiles, and you live in that age right now. You're living in it right now. It's going to come to an end, as Paul has revealed to us, in what is called a rapture. And then after 7 years of tribulation, the Lord's going to come back, set up his kingdom, and he's going to pour out his spirit, just like Joel says here, upon his people Israel. What a day it's going to be. Wouldn't it be great if all the Jews today were saved? Can you imagine what kind of a testimony they'd be to the world if they were all saved today? If we would be hearing news out of Jerusalem today, we want to tell you about our Messiah, what Jesus is doing today, what great words he's taught us today out of his law, and the great words that he's got to say about how he's going to govern the world in righteousness. Wouldn't it be great to hear news like that? Instead of Israel trying to figure out how to have peace with people that are at war with them and hate them. Oh, there's a great day coming someday. And it's not going to be because the kings of this earth have figured out how to finally have peace. It'll come when Jesus comes and destroys the Antichrist and his armies. And then he sets up his kingdom here on this earth. Would you go with me now to Daniel chapter 7? And I need two guys to hand out some papers here for me. Who'll do that? I need two men. Come on up here. Oh, right there on that organ bench there. Now, I think I only have like about 23 of them. So husbands and wives, you take one and let some of the others, the single ones, have a copy. If there's not enough to go around, kind of keep passing them around until at least each group or person has one. This is an outline of what we're going to look at right now. And all you have to do is provide the verses of Scripture I'm going to give to you for each one of these. What we're going to look at are conditions existing during the millennium. When Jesus Christ is here, what will things be like? Will it be different? Oh, yes, it's going to be different, folks. Not ever going to be like this. All right. Okay, I think we successfully scattered enough of them around. How many of you got left, Jim?
Three.
Anybody else would like another copy? We got two more, actually, because Jim needs one, right? You got three extra. Anybody else want one? They'll be worth a lot of money in the tribulation time. You won't be here then, right? So you won't make anything on it. You can leave it behind. Someone might see it in your desk drawer or something. Pull this out. What is this? Well, conditions existing within the millennium. Would you go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 27? Daniel 7, verse 27. All right, you got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Look at this one verse. Now, the book of Daniel is a book of prophecy about the end times. It's a great book to study, but we're just going to look at this one verse here, okay? And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Wow. Daniel's talking about the Messiah of Israel, who's going to rule and reign and set up a kingdom whose dominion will never end. And it will fill the whole earth. All the kingdoms of the earth will be subservient to him. What a day. Well, let's look at the conditions existing within this great kingdom that Daniel talks about, that the book of Revelation talks about, 1,000 years worth. Let's look at this. Letter or number one, peace. Peace. Here's a verse for you. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. And I know to write and then move will be hard, but most of my verses will be in Isaiah, just to comfort your hearts a little bit. Okay. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. So if you get there, after you write it down, Isaiah 2, verse 4. Peace! There's going to be a cessation of war, an ending of wars, except for that one after the 1,000 years is over and the devil comes out. But, you know, that's hardly even going to be a war. They're just going to amass and meet at Jerusalem there, and they're going to be destroyed by the Lord. That's the battle. Kind of a quick one. But cessation of war. Isaiah 2:4. And he, referring to the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ ruling in Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. There'll be no war colleges in the kingdom. Nope. No West Points. Nope. We don't need to learn war. We're not going to have war. We're going to have peace. And in fact, we're going to take all those swords and we're going to just bend them up and mold them into plowshares. Remember we were reading Amos where it talks how the plowman will overtake the reaper. They're going to need plows. They're going to have to make all these instruments of war into instruments of farming and agriculture in the day of the Lord's reign for 1,000 years. Won't it be great? The second one, holiness. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. That's your verse. Isaiah 1, 26, 27. There's an idea. You couples have your wife write and you husbands turn the pages. All right, or the other way around, whoever writes better. That way you'll get there. All right. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion, all these terms refer to Jerusalem. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Oh, there's a great day coming when holiness will be the characteristic of the day. You won't open up your paper and look for the police briefs. It's going to be holiness. Peace and holiness. Thirdly, glory. Isaiah 24, 23. Isaiah 24, 23. While you're writing, I'll just give you another passage there. Also chapter 35, verse 2. And chapter 4, verse 2. We're going to look at them. Isaiah 24, 23 says this, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Go over to chapter 35, verse 2. Obviously, what Isaiah is saying never took place in his day nor any time in the past. Yet, it's still future. Nothing like these words we read about have ever taken place, so they're going to take place in the future. Isaiah 35, verse 2. It shall blossom abundantly and enjoy and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. These are all places near Jerusalem. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And then drop back to chapter 4, verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Chapter 4, verse 2. Lord, be beautiful and glorious. Oh, the glory of the Lord is going to be seen. The next one is comfort. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. There's going to be comfort in the land, and in the world for that matter. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Oh, we look in vain to get comfort from our leaders in our world today and of the nations today. We don't hear of comfort coming from the leaders. But here the Lord is going to give out comfort, consolation. In Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, amen for that. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Oh, Israel's going to be reminded of all their history and all they've gone through. And the Lord's going to say, all right, now it's time to comfort. It's time for comfort. Almost sounds like words of heaven, doesn't it? When we get to heaven, are we going to be put through the same things that we went through here? No. We're not going to labor like that anymore. We're going to be comforted. And He'll wipe all the tears from our eyes, right? And if there's any ailments, those will be gone as well. The next one is joy. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3 through 6. Isaiah 12, 3 through 6. Isaiah 12, 3 through 6. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, that's Jerusalem, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. You know, those words, in the midst of thee, tell you, He's there. He's right there. It's not, yeah, let's praise Him who we can't see. No, no. In the midst of thee, He's going to be right there. Again, I take the Bible literally. If it says something, I just take it for what it says. You know the word Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. In the midst of thee. You see this often in the Word of God. I'm just giving you little points in the book of Isaiah. We can show more verses for each one of these items that I'm giving you. I'm just giving you one set and on to the next one we go. Justice, Isaiah 9, verse 7. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Justice. Oh, for justice. Boy, people get away with stuff. Boy, this thing with Madoff, the Madoff guy, you know? Ooh. Do you think it's possible that the man can even get justice? And what does a guy like that really deserve? Ooh. Can it even be meted out correctly, sufficiently? I don't know, some people would like to get a hold of his neck, you know? Let me get a hold of him. They got to protect him going into the courthouse and that. I'm not standing up for him. The guy's a crumb. But there will be justice someday. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of His government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, those are good words in the Bible, aren't they? I'm glad that God puts His own name right on it. He says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know what, folks? Take that to the bank. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, this is not the Word of God. These things must take place. God has put His very name on the line here. His very zeal is on the line. The zeal of the Lord of hosts hath spoken this, right? Or the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Period. He doesn't put on, as long as you bail out, you know, as long as you pay your taxes, as long as you're nice and good to me. No, no. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There it is. Done. Going to happen. Not maybe, might be, hope so. Boy, that'd be great. This will take place. Full knowledge. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, and also chapter 54, verse 13. This is for full knowledge. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. We keep coming back and around some of these verses. You say, well, I thought we read that one. No, we read the other one. Didn't read these. Okay, verse 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now you have to know that Jesse is David's daddy. Yeah, Jesse, David's dad, father. And who's coming out of David? Jesus. It says, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Knowledge, folks. You see that in there? The spirit of knowledge. Wisdom is going to be coming out of this branch as a stem out of the rod of Jesse. That's just saying the descendant from Jesse, David, Solomon, all the way down through all the kings till you come to Joseph and Mary giving birth to Jesus, being born into the world, rightful heir to the throne of David. He is this one talked about in verse 2. There is no one else like this one in verse 2 except the Messiah of Israel. The only one who can fulfill that. Chapter 54, verse 13. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Any of you have a roast in the oven back at home? The pastor is never going to get done. That's because he's done right now. Okay, Isaiah 54, 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That has not taken place yet for Israel, folks. That is in the last days. These things will take place. You come back next week, okay? And we'll finish up the outline, get more of these verses here. There's a great day coming. My question to you while we close and give an invitation, Jason, would you come and get ready to play number 537 in our hymn book? I have to give an invitation and say to you, if you are not born again, you are not going to see the day in which the things we've talked about this morning are going to take place. You're going to live throughout eternity moaning and groaning and wishing for the day back when you'd hear the merciful words of your local pastor saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll save your lost soul through the blood shed at Calvary." Why not trust Him today as your Savior? Let me ask a question. If you died today, do you know where you're going to be? If you do not know the answer for sure to that question, you need to get it settled today. I'm going to ask you, while in a moment we'll stand and we'll be singing this song together. And if you're here today, you need to get saved, meet me down at the front. I'll be standing down here. If you're a woman, we'll have a woman help you. If you're a man, we'll have a man help you. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from your sin, to save you from death and hell and give you everlasting life. Why not respond? Notice the title of the song. Ye must be born again. You know, it doesn't say, it'd be nice if you were born again. You ought to be. No, ye must. M-U-S-T. Let's stand and sing. You come if you need to get saved today. We'd love to help you with that. 537, Jason. You come.
Our ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask Him the way of salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain. He must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, He must be born again.
Preacher will say that to every one of his people. Ye must be born again. If you've got a preacher who never has ever asked you if you've been born again, you don't have a pastor. You have a hireling. Has your pastor ever asked you, are you born again? If he's not done that, he's not a pastor. You better flee from him. And go to a shepherd that will love you and ask you that question. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the fellowship of the saints here this morning. And we thank you for the great expectation we have. We're going to be in a kingdom with the Lord someday that's great and marvelous. But not because we deserve it. Oh no. Because in grace, you saved our lost, hell-deserving soul. Help us to help others come to know the Lord as we know Him, so that they too might be able to sing the songs of the saved, of a beautiful place called heaven, and going there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.